So it's me again, and this time is about the idle server discovery, which is now -1. Next slide. So this version has mainly, I would say, editorial. We have fixed like many language problems there. I would call it an editorial in section number 2, which is the protocol overview. Their method has something which is called user input. And I think we discussed in the last meeting this. This user input could also be somebody is going to a web browser, clicking a link, downloading a file, and this file is automatically pulled into the other client, configuring where the server is, and we edit just the text there that it's clear that it's not really, it doesn't need to have to be user input in terms of somebody is typing the address into the other client. Next slide, please. There is section 4.1. There's a small change. So because an auto client can actually have multiple IP addresses. So the easiest case you could imagine is that you're sitting behind a NAT. You have your private IP address and the IP address, which is on the public side of the NAT. And this text just describes how you actually determine or give the options how you determine such IP address, because it might be important to know that. If you go with the private IP address to an auto server, it must probably doesn't give you any guidance, or you don't find it even. So there needs to be some conscious considerations. There are some options listed how you can find the IP address, which is for sure incomplete. But let's see, we can fill this up with the future versions of the draft. Next slide, please. So the section number 5 of the draft does actually document like. I would call it deployment considerations when you use the other server discovery mechanism. And one thing is that you rely on a DHCP option, which gives you the DNS suffix for your domain. And many ISPs are actually providing this, but there is a big issue, which is well known from the HomeGate community, which is DHCP options, home gateway, and the end host. And mainly, the second bullet describes it, the issue for the home gateway, but also for the host, is this option must actually correctly pass through, and also it must be understood. And home gateways sometimes just don't forward these options. Sometimes they forward the options, but they modify it. And the same holds true for host. If the host doesn't understand the option, you're lost. If it understands the options but eats it on the way, you're also lost. And for instance, some of you may have home gateways at home, which just override the DNS suffix to something like .local or .box. And if you use this one in the other server discovery, you're lost, because the DNS will not return any useful answer to queries which end with .local or .box. But I think we need some more reading on this, like on related work coming from the home gateway people, to make a proper write-up there. Next slide. Okay, I can do it. Self-service. So the other thing is, like, how should an auto client handle multiple results? Multiple results refers to that you have that the auto client has multiple IP addresses, either on the same interface or on a different one. And for each of the IP addresses, you would try to find out the auto server which is in charge of this one. So basically, if you have two interfaces with two IP addresses, it might be that you get two auto servers which are in charge of you. So the example you see here is like IP1 is like maybe coming from your fixed line interface, while IP2 is coming from your mobile backup interface. You get like two of them. And the proposal is that you remember all of them and the interface they're actually belonging to, and that when you make a query for a specific interface IP, you use the other server which has been, let's say, configured or returned as part of the process for this IP address. That's like the most straightforward approach. Which we're going to document there, and it's just like it, that you need to remember for which interface the other server is actually in charge of. Okay, next steps. We have asked for an expert review. We have sent it to our AD, and he has forwarded this to the specific experts because it touches DNS, service discovery, and everything, and want to get some feedback from the community there. And we're waiting for this to be completed. We have other open issues, like there's still the big headache about reverse DNS for IPv6. There's also a reference to a nice graph, RFC, which basically says it's all scooped up and go home, please. That's it. And the normative language is not really perfect in the draft, right? But that's an editorial right now. But for sure, some people might argue whether it's a must should or should not in the end. Vijay.
Yes, so this is as individual. So maybe between you and Richard, one of the things that, you know, yesterday when we did the bake-off, we put the information resource URLs out on the list and stuff. As part of the discovery, do you will the discovery provide a URL to the information resource that an Alto server hosts? Because I don't see any such discussion in the server discovery draft.
You mean you get if that you get the base URL or?
Right. What is it going to be? Because sometimes some people are using, you know, port number slash directory. Others people are using just port number or URL. So when I look for an Alto server, how do I know where should I go to get the IR directory?
So
This is Rich. So I think in the current protocol draft, we explicitly state that we assume the server discovery is going to return a URI or a URL. And currently, I think you do, right? So I think that was the way that it was handled. Do we need to say it better in the discovery draft then that this fulfills the requirement?
At least maybe as an individual, I should circle back and see if it makes sense reading the discovery draft.
Okay.
All right. Good. Any other question? Okay. Thanks. I can see.